25 minutes after the hour on a Tuesday morning, and that means Dr. Don Clark joins us from his luxurious estate and vineyard in Garden Valley, Texas, which is I'm kidding about his estate, but it's a beautiful place, surrounded by grapes and a big pond and a tasting room, and he's got quite a facility there with Valle della Pace after, what now, 11 years in the business, right?
Yes. We started we planted the vineyard the first time in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
2012 was the first growing season. So 10 years, growing. Mm-hmm. And we started producing wine in 2014 and then started selling wine in 2017. So.
And you recognize a Sabbath year, do you not? You're growing this, in a sense, biblically. According to patterns established in the Bible.
Well, yes, we did. We did recognize our Sabbath year, and we let the vines rest for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the time to kind of retrain, some of the vines and do that type of stuff. But we didn't get any fruit off the vines.
Mm-hmm. Interesting
that year.
Stuff. Yeah, Don is a biochemist with a history in pharmaceuticals, which pertains to our discussion today. And he's also a member of the board of Creation Moments. And we talk about them from time to time, too. By the way, David Allen Punt, I have to introduce you. David Allen Punt is here after dropping off and coming back and dropping off and coming back this morning. Hello, David.
Hello. I just as you started talking to me, I put a mouthful of oatmeal in my mouth.
Yeah, David is consuming breakfast at the moment, but he's paying apt attention to us here. You sent me an article, Don, on ivermectin. We've talked about ivermectin briefly before in league with a bunch of other things like hydroxychloroquine and COVID and COVID vaccines. And I'm wondering, at what stage are we now in the COVID discussion? Supposedly the emergency is passed, although there are still agents of government hanging on to that so they can do other things unrelated to COVID, like doling money out. Is COVID still front and center, or are we now talking about the crud and corruption that surrounded industrial medicine during this pandemic?
Well, as far as you said, the government is still very much interested in keeping the COVID scare alive. And of course, we know that the FDA fast-tracked vaccine too, that is a mixture of the old mRNA vaccine with the new Omicron variant of the vaccine. So
let's go back even a little farther than that. Why was it an emergency to begin with? Because it seems to me that we were totally unprepared for this thing. And when the Trump administration dealt with the pharmaceutical industry to fast-track vaccines, it was based upon precious little information. Is that the root of the problem?
Well, initially it was little information. However, of course, looking back, we know that Fauci had all the information that we needed, but he kept it to himself and he kept it hidden because he helped the Wuhan lab develop the virus in the first place. And so we had all of that corruption going on. Of course, Trump didn't know anything about this, and Fauci denied that it came from a lab, that it was just a rogue virus that got loose on the world, but we knew that it came from China, and somehow bats were involved. And so that story and World Economic Forum folks took the opportunity to turn this into a pandemic and a world scare. And so that's what they did. And so they encouraged governments to treat this as a global pandemic. And that initially we thought, my goodness, many, many people are going to die. And it's going to affect the whole population. And it turned out that it only affected the elderly and the sick.
And it turns out also that there was a drug in common use, it's been around for a long time, for decades, that could have handled the problem all by itself, and it's called ivermectin. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, that was one of the drugs that was certainly had been used before in treating viruses and showed promise. It's an old drug. It's like 50 years old. It's been around, been treating millions upon millions of people. So not necessarily for viral infections, but for the other conditions.
But we knew it was, and we knew it was safe. We had experience with
it. If you look at the profile, the safety profile of all the drugs that have been manufactured, ivermectin is one of the safest, if not the safest drug on the market today. And, you know, it's generic. It's a generic drug now because it's been on the market for such a long time. And in certain places like Africa, for example, they pretty much dish out ivermectin on a routine basis, and India as well. So it's not a drug that didn't have, you know, a good safety profile, although, you know, the powers that be would tell you that, oh, it's dangerous to take this without, you know, without a prescription and all this other stuff. And in fact, like I said, it's one of the more safest drugs out there. It's even safer than hydroxychloroquine, which is also effective against COVID and in viruses.
So why is it that the medical industry routinely does not prescribe it? In fact, sections of the industry, hospitals, doctors, won't prescribe it, won't use it, and shun people who do.
Well, because they have been bought off by the pharmaceutical companies and big government, basically. Mm-hmm. That's why, because hospitals, for example, if you recall, during the COVID, the peak of the COVID scare or treatments, the hospitals had their protocols, which they got from CDC, and Dr. Fauci said, you know, there's only one drug that's approved for, well, there's the vaccines that are approved, and they weren't really approved. They were only approved for emergency use only, which we've talked about before. If a drug is used as a emergency use type of drug, given that classification, the pharmaceutical companies do not have any liability. You're supposed to be given a informed consent, and you need to sign an informed consent before you actually take the drug. And many, many places were not even doing that. And so it was a big scam to get the pharmaceutical companies off the hook in case there were severe adverse reactions. And indeed, there have been, and they knew that there were going to be, because they showed up in the initial clinical trials that were used with the vaccines.
We've had 2 years with the vaccines now. There should be a track record.
And there's a huge track record,
and it's not being made public, though. It in drips and drabs it is, from people like Dr. Mercola and Dr. Corey and others.
Dr. Malone,
and Dr. Malone is another one. Yeah, but the industry itself is not making the information readily available to the common folk.
Well, of course they're not, because if they did, then the common folk would know that, I'm not taking that dangerous drug. And that would, of course, curtail the wealth that is coming into the pharmaceutical companies and to certain academic researchers like Fauci and some others that have become super wealthy over this.
So I hate to sound naive, but it's about money, not medicine.
It was about money, and the whole thing was about money. With the hospitals, it was about money, because the hospitals got paid for every COVID patient that came into the hospital. They got paid a certain amount. And unfortunately, I don't know who was the brilliant politician who decided this, but they also got paid per death. So they got paid more if the patient died than if the patient lived.
That is, if a patient died from COVID, so a death who, that it may have resulted from underlying causes, some other health condition, went down as a COVID death, and the hospital reaped the benefit. Correct?
Yes. Exactly. So you had corruption up and down the whole system, and we saw tremendous amount of disinformation coming out from the very people that you basically put your life into their hands, and the hospitals refused many hospitals refused to try any other treatment that would help protect the patient. Instead, they would put them on, when the patient started to decline, they would put them on the ventilator and put them on remdesivir, which was the only approved antiviral drug, which in itself killed half the people that it was tested in over in Africa years ago when it was being developed. And so you had all of this going on, and the push was to get as many people vaccinated as possible, to scare as many people and get them vaccinated so that the pharmaceutical companies could reap a benefit. And Dr. Fauci himself, who owns, who has patent rights for the Moderna mRNA vaccine, could also benefit greatly from his decisions and his recommendations that came along with the whole thing.
We know now, about Dr. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Dr. Yeah. McCullough has been around online for a long time, and he's gained great credibility in my mind. I read what he had to say, and the way he handles his information. He had an interview with this Dr. Pierre Corey. What is Dr. Corey's story? And by the way, there's links to this in the chat window of BrokenRoadRadio.com if you'd like to do a little background research yourself out there for our listeners.
Yes. So the video interview is available. If you subscribe to the McCullough site, you can actually get the transcript of the of the interview. But Dr. Perry Corey, who is an internist and worked in hospitals as an internist, was well recognized as a very sound physician. Wrote a book entitled "The War on Ivermectin," the medicine that saved millions and could have ended the COVID pandemic. And so his interview is all about the book and what happened to Perry Corey and his experience, because he started using ivermectin and his hospital pretty much shut him down, and then took him out of the system, and so he was basically without a job, which happened, by the way, to many doctors who understood that ivermectin, for example, was just one of the drugs, but ivermectin had a role to play in fighting the COVID. And the hospitals had their protocols that were pushed down from the CDC, for example, and they weren't going to have anything other than the protocols that were available, or the lack thereof, of treatment. And McCullough, Peter McCullough, was another one who very early on was proclaiming this. And of course, he was shunned by the media, by social media. He was taken off social media. Corey was taken off social media. And so all of these guys were shunned from the standard medical community. And but yet those who wanted to find decent and true information could find it, because there were alternative sources. Both of these folks, for example, Peter McCullough here in Texas, he gave talks. I went to a couple of his talks here in Tyler, Texas, and proclaim the insanity of what was going on in the hospitals and the lack of treatment of patients that patients receive in the hospitals. So the patient would go into the hospital. He's, you know, he or she is sick and having trouble breathing. And they would just leave the patient alone, not treating them with anything and not treating the symptoms or anything until they got so bad that they had to be put on a ventilator. And by that time, you're pretty much, doomed to die.
Is a hospital that does that liable to lawsuit?
No, because they were following the national protocols. So...
like the pharmaceutical companies, they were protected against lawsuits.
They were protected. Yeah, they were protected. Now, there have been many lawsuits against them for not doing, you brought up an article, and I had seen it, of a family whose mother went into the hospital, and they tried to get her treatment and tried to get her put on ivermectin, and the hospital did everything in their power to deny, and even when they had a judge's injunction against the hospital, they still didn't do anything and denied it. And so they didn't treat, and the mother unfortunately wound up dying in the process. But these gals have now gone on to with many, many other families that have similar stories and are
trying
to make
all of this known. These are the children of the mother who died basically because of inaction and lack of care in the hospital. Yeah,
inaction in the hospitals. Now, COVID can be successfully treated and had been successfully treated. And Zelensko was in New York, was one of the first to say that, you know, he had a treatment protocol using hydroxychloroquine, if you will, and that's where President Trump got the idea of using hydroxychloroquine, was from Zelensko and his success, and he wasn't losing patients. But yet the patients going to the hospitals were dying. So he wasn't losing any patients, putting them on vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc and hydroxychloroquine. And other people weren't losing patients, getting them on ivermectin and zinc and, vitamin A and, I mean, vitamin D and other antioxidants. And treating McCullough's treatment and the group that now has formed around McCullough and other folks basically said, look, you know, at this stage you treat, you know, early treatments with ivermectin and zinc and vitamin C and vitamin D, and as the disease progresses it gets into the inflammatory stage, and then you need to treat the inflammation, which means you need to treat with steroids. And so the hospitals weren't treating with steroids, and the inflammation was causing all of the fluid to back up in the lungs, and lo and behold, the patient, you know, looks like he or she is dying from pneumonia. And it wasn't an infection from pneumonia, it was the inflammation in the lungs that was causing the fluid buildup, or it was because they had put them on remdesivir, and remdesivir causes liver toxicity, which also causes fluid to back up in the lungs. And so the hospitals were not treating, and other people were treating these patients correctly, and many, many people survived because they used alternative treatments rather than what was prescribed from the CDC and what was coming out of the institutions, if you will, that had a tie to the pharmaceutical industries. So a long story, trying to shorten this very long story about the book that he wrote. It's basically Corey's experience. And you can certainly listen to the whole interview from that link. But he now, Corey doesn't work for a hospital anymore. He says he will not work for them because they refuse to use alternate treatments. And so he's kind of working for himself and as a consulting type of where you could call him up and, you know, he'll help prescribe various things based on your treatment. But he's now treating long COVID patients, that is patients who continue to suffer with fatigue, a lack of energy, and such things. And after either getting the vaccine or getting COVID or both, and so he's kind of figuring out, along with other people, McCullough is one of them, that, hey, your mitochondria is poisoned by the spike protein. And guess what molecule binds the spike protein? Well, it's ivermectin. Ivermectin. One of the functions of ivermectin is that it binds to the spike protein. And that's part of the mechanism for why ivermectin works in COVID patients, is that it binds to the spike protein. But the other problem is that you've got a mitochondrial malfunction when you get these poisons in your system, and the spike protein is a poison. So he's also found, for example, that methylene blue could be an effective treatment for some of these patients. And so he's put some patients on methylene blue, and voila, their energy returns sometimes within hours after taking methylene blue. Now, it's not a cure-all, but he even says in this interview that, hey, this is a pretty much trial and error, and it depends on the patient, and there's many reasons for your mitochondria not functioning up to snuff, and so we have to just kind of take it on a patient-by-patient basis. And that's what a doctor is supposed to do.
It strikes me as the normal course of action, yes.
Yes, I mean, what's the point of you getting an MD, of you getting, you know, an education, and not using the knowledge that you've acquired in your education to treat a patient on their own individual basis, as opposed to just mass treating people based on a protocol that is now been shown to be dangerous, much less effective. And so that's kind of what he's doing now. And some of these long COVID patients, he puts them on long-term daily doses of ivermectin, but about a tenth of a dose of what you would normally dose ivermectin at. So it's like 0.3 milligrams per kilogram, which turns out to be about three for a a person who's 200 pounds, it's about 3 milligram dose per day of ivermectin. And like I said, he also uses in conjunction, depending on what you have and how you respond, methylene blue and some steroids as well, if that seems to be of benefit if you have an inflammatory response.
Is ivermectin a pill or an injection?
It's a tablet.
Okay.
It's a tablet. Yeah, it's in the solid form. Well, it depends. Some of the horse medications, for example, are solutions. And mm-hmm. But be that as it may, I mean, there are different formulations, but the typical one that I'm sure he's prescribing are tablets, 3 milligram tablets.
Mm-hmm. I have a brother-in-law who bought some of the horse medication. I don't know that he took it or not, but is there some way to reduce the amount of drug that you take that you get from the vet, so you're not getting
that
the same?
That you get from a vet? Well, you need to know what the concentration of ivermectin is. Like one of the medications is actually a solution. It's a glycol solution, and it has ivermectin at 1%. So then you have to You know, me being a biochemist, that's not an issue of figuring out what the dilution needs to be in order for you to get the right dose. You don't, even though ivermectin is very safe, you don't want to, you know, overdose or use too much of it anyway. Right. And like I said, the typical a typical treatment dose might be 3 milligrams per kilogram of body weight, which typically turns out for a 200-pound person would be 30 milligrams. And Dr. Corey is, if you're taking it daily in order to help with some of these long COVID effects, he's found that dropping it down to a tenth of that, that is 3 milligrams per day, is quite effective.
Do you need a prescription for it? I'm presuming you do. So if your hospital and your doctor say no, we have our protocols, you can't have this, how do you obtain it?
Well, you can call, for example, the organization, and I've been looking for it, that these folks are all now part of, and they will put you in touch with someone like Dr. Corey or Dr. McCullough, who will actually write you a prescription. Mm-hmm. You go to the pharmacy and you can get this, but you know, you need to really talk to somebody who has knowledge in this area to prescribe the right thing for your particular condition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it just so happens that there have been, early on, there was a Brazilian study that looked at something like 33,000 patients or 31,000 patients, and looking at the effects of ivermectin. And ivermectin, they told people to take ivermectin with a certain protocol. And those that stayed on the drug, there were no deaths in that, or it was 100% rate of no one going to the hospital. And very few deaths in the group that took ivermectin consistently. And other studies have kind of borne that out. As a preventative, ivermectin is excellent in helping to prevent serious illnesses from COVID. And why that wasn't used here in the United States, it was used in India and other parts. It was used in Africa. The Africans got very, you know, didn't get very sick at all because many of them were already on ivermectin. And so, you know, had we picked up the ball and kind of ran with it, we would have saved a lot of lives, and it's estimated that we could have saved at least 100,000, if not more people's lives, had we used alternative protocols instead of the ones that came out of the CDC.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading this article that you sent us, and it's an extremely long article. It even goes into public relations disinformation that happened way back with the tobacco industry, and how the same firm has been involved in recent years in disinformation with respect to COVID. I think maybe the best thing we can do is recommend the book to people. Normally, we don't sell books here, but it's called The War on Ivermectin, and it's by Dr. You pronounced it Perry, P-I-E-R-R-E, and then Corey, K-O-R-Y. And you can lead to use the link that we put in the chat window of brokenroadradio.com to maybe get your hands on the book and dig into that. And if you're suffering from long haul COVID, I guess you want to maybe read the book and then maybe go look for ivermectin and someone that will prescribe it to you. And such people are around. And I think in Texas it may be easier than other places to get a hold of ivermectin. So,
by the way, there is a medical conference in Orlando in October the 15th and the 16th, and I think they're going to be streaming this, And you can register online. It's the Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance. That's what I was looking for. Mm. Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance, the FLCCC, that is holding this, putting this on, and it's understanding the treating spike protein-induced diseases. And anyway, in this article that we're referencing and in the video, Dr. Corey references this conference that's coming up next. Well, it's coming up, I think, later this week, I suppose.
Okay.
That might be of use to folks.
We appreciate the information. Go ahead, David.
You can get ivermectin on Amazon. $3.82 a day. $3.82 a day, but it does require a prescription.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. All right. Dr. Don, thanks so much. Again, as you've enlightened us again, and I'm going to turn people on to this book and to this whole idea of how the medical industry itself has been part and parcel of the problem of COVID. And if you're still hurting from it, if it's still a factor in your life, you might want to dig into this book and see what Dr. Corey has to offer. Don is a member of the board of Creation Moments. CreationMoments.com is their website. We recommend that site, particularly for scientific information that relates to the biblical story of creation. We talk about that, too, with Dr. Don. And it's a great website with lots to offer. CreationMoments.com. Don, thanks very much. We'll see you next week. Okay?
All righty. Very good. You'll stay safe and healthy.
Yeah. You too.
See you, Don.
Okay. So long. Bye-bye.